Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning with a couple passages of Scripture. We're going to kind of look at them back to back. First, Scripture many of us are familiar with, the Apostle Paul writing to Pastor Timothy, and this is back in the persecution of the early church, kind of the broader historical context of this great passage. The Apostle Paul says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, sound mind," kind of the same idea, the same concept. But, you know, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, you have a spirit. The spirit that God gave you is not a spirit that stirs up fear. As you stir up the spirit, he will stir up power, love, and a sound mind. So Paul's just letting Timothy know any fear that's coming on you, that's not coming from God. That's not the spirit he gave you. But what he gave you is going to stir up power, love, and a sound mind. So we kind of know that. We're familiar with this concept. So I want to look at this concept in context with another passage of Scripture that Jesus spoke. And he said in Luke 21:25-28, he said, "There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." And here's the same passage in the Message, a little more plain spoken. "It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that will be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way." So we see and we know from what Jesus said, prophesied, that there's going to be some dark times. The Apostle Paul said perilous times will be coming upon the earth, fearful times, and men's hearts failing them for fear of things coming upon the earth. So I want to kind of take a look at these two thoughts and kind of connect them together. First of all, we know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. The spirit he's given us produces power, love, and a sound mind. It doesn't produce fear. You know, it's stirring us, to that place of strength and love and sound mind, a peaceful mind. And it's important to take that and to understand that in this broader context, too, of these end times, these perilous times when Jesus said, men's hearts failing and for fear of things coming upon the earth, that we don't have hearts that fail us, but we're looking up. Our redemption is drawing near. And so I want to look at these two ideas together just because of a lot of angst, things I know I've heard from people, several of you, different ways about just where we are right now as a nation, as a world, the spiritual timeline of the return of Jesus that you can see here and how all these things come into play. You know, it's one thing, I've read these scriptures for years, but it's one thing when you begin to see the global events begin to happen and things are starting to line up and go, wow, I guess I really am in that generation, you know, where these things are beginning to happen. And so as we're here now and we're beginning to see all these global things happen, you know, this is our time to shine. This is our time to really be who God has called us to be. In fact, let me go ahead and just give you the message this morning. It's simply called Fear Not November, okay? Fear Not November. I actually saw, I saw this after I was actually doing this message, but it was a storyline that says, therapists warning of election stress disorder spreading across the U.S. An actual disorder. Election stress disorder. All right, now this is just talking about a generic thing. This isn't just talking about, you know, for everybody. And so, you know, it's very real. It's very in the air. You know, whether you're a believer who's trying to figure out all the eschatology things and things that are happening, or whether you don't even know God, but you just know we got an election coming up and you're afraid of how it's going to turn out. Is it going to be clear? Is there going to be rioting in the streets? Is there going to be pandemonium? You know, and then as believers, you got a lot of different prophecies that are all over the board on this kind of stuff, and you're trying to sort all that out, you know? And so, you know, as crazy as 2020 has been already, it's almost like it's created a new November phobia that, you know, is the culmination of this strange year that we have. And so this morning, again, it's simply, I'm calling the message, Fear Not November. Again, these are just a 2020 message that I would have probably never thought of preaching before, but I really want to begin to this morning to let not your hearts be troubled as we're going into November. We don't have to be afraid of November. We can go into November strong. We can go into November with a position of strength, authority, and peace. And that's what I'm believing this morning we're going to go into spiritually, that we're going to come in together, that we're the church going into November. Amen. Praise God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but the church going into November. And there's some things that we can know as we go into November that I think, you know, in my heart's desire is that we can just, again, get comforted, strengthened, and on the same page as we fear not November and as we go into it. So the first aspect in terms of fear not November is the fact of what will not happen, all right? There's a lot of hubbub about what's going to happen in November. I can tell you some things that definitely will not happen in November as we go there. First thing that will not happen in the month of November is hell will not prevail against the church in the month of November. Matthew 16:18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. This is New King James. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. You know, in this battle of the world and Satan and the church, you don't want to be on the side of Satan, you want to be on the side of the church. That's the strong position, you know. In terms of being afraid during these last days, you know, Satan is the one whose time is short. You know, I'm looking up because my redemption is drawing nigh, but Satan's judgment is drawing nigh, all right? We're not the ones who have to be afraid. Our eternal life is drawing nigh. Eternity with Jesus is drawing nigh. He's coming back for us. That's what's drawing nigh for us. And so it's important to realize that, you know, as we're approaching November and you think persecution and all this kind of the stuff that's going to happen, we are the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The name of Jesus is going to work in the month of November. The word of God is going to work in the month of November. Speaking to mountains is going to work in the month of November. Everything stays intact. The armor of God is fully intact in the month of November. Nothing changes at all. You have the same authority, the same power, the same peace that passes your understanding now will still pass your understanding in the month of November. These things are true. And so we just kind of got to get stirred up. There's some things that are not going to happen. All right? Hell will not prevail against the church. The church is in that position of strength. And we are here now in October. We're going to be there in November as well. The other thing that's not going to happen is God's not going to pull up our anchor of hope. Hebrews 6:18-19. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, because it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. You know, the strength of the promise of eternal life is rooted in the fact that God, it is impossible for God to lie. I love the reasoning that's going on here. You know, the Apostle Paul said, the natural man works with natural things. That's all he's got to work with is what he can see, taste, touch, feel, handle. He said, but the spiritual man, he compares spiritual with spiritual. He's rightly judged by no one. He gets judged, but he's not rightly judged. He's handling things that are spiritual. And he's comparing things. And this guy's doing some comparison. He's going, it's impossible for God to lie. He's promised us this eternal life refuge. Therefore, according to my calculations, as I compare his integrity and his promise, I've got a strong and trustworthy anchor for my soul. In other words, that anchor that I've got in my heart is based on the integrity of God, and he can't lie. So according to my calculations, that I'm there. There's no question at all. There's this strong sense. In other words, it's this trust in God's integrity. He can't lie, therefore. Impossible, therefore. I know he's real, and I know he can't lie, and I know he promised me eternal life. I'm comparing spiritual with spiritual, and it's producing this anchor. You know, our money used to be backed by metals, gold, silver, different things like that. Now it's just backed by a trust in our treasury and our department of the government, all right? And so far, so good for today. You know what I mean? But our promise of eternal life is backed by the integrity of God himself, for whom it's impossible to lie. It's possible for our treasury system to go down. It's possible for the U.S. trust to fall apart. That's possible. But it's impossible for God to lie. In other words, my dollar, you know, that I have right now today, I could go ahead and spend it. But it's possible that there could come a time and day when this dollar wouldn't spend because of an economic collapse. But when it comes to my eternal life being able to be spent, that will always be spendable because it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for his economy to come down. So there's this strong hope. Whether I'm in October, whether I'm in November, it's impossible for God to lie in either month. My hope is strong and secure now, and it will be strong and secure next month. It's interesting that God Almighty, by the inspiration of Scripture, connects our surety of eternal life to his integrity, that he can't lie. He did this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do that. We see the Father doing it here in Hebrews. We also see Jesus doing it too. You know, another thing that's going to happen is our hearts do not have to be troubled. Again, whether we're in October or November, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now listen to this language. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus does the same thing. He connects our assurance of eternal life to his integrity that he wouldn't lie to us about this. I mean, he's the way, the truth, the life anyway, but he just goes out of his way to say, if there really weren't many mansions, I wouldn't be saying this right now. Interesting how God, in both senses of our security, validates his own integrity. This is real. This is not fairy tale. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most pitiable. He didn't come to stir up another religion. He did go through all that pain and suffering so that he could deliver us from a real hell and bring us to a real heaven that's backed by his Spirit. Why is this important right now as we're heading into November, as we're heading into the chaos and different things like that? That hope is to be an anchor right now for our soul. It is to keep us steady. But not only that, but hope is powerful. Kenneth Hagin had a saying that I always remembered a lot. He'd say, if Satan can keep you in the arena of reason, he'll whip you every time. If you bring him into the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. And that's kind of what these two arenas are like. That arena of reason is an arena of fear. The arena of faith is an arena of hope in what God has said, all right? And I don't know if you watched The Lord of the Rings. There's a certain scene in there where one of the little guys, I think it's Pippin, he has this ball. It's like this crystal ball type thing. I think it's called a planteer or something like that. But he can look into it, and as he looks into that ball represents Sauron, the evil guy, and he can see things and images of the future, possible future, hypotheticals, maybe, maybe not, but it's stuff that it just causes fear, all right? And he's looking at it, and it can look reasonable, but the thing of it is as he's looking into this ball, as he's reading the ball, as he's reading all the different chaos and things that are going on, it begins to read him. It goes into his mind and goes into his fears and his concerns. And so fear is like that. When you get fixated on fear, you're looking at all the hypotheticals and you think you're reading it, but it begins to read you. And there's a spiritual force. It's not just a mental, cerebral, this could happen, that could happen. There's a spiritual force that can connect you to that fear. In the movie, when Pippin does that, you know, he's in a place where he needs help. You know, it's not just a try to think right. He needs a spiritual force to break that power of the spirit of fear. And in the movie, I forgot, Aragorn or the good guy comes in and just knocks the ball out of his hand and just breaks his gaze. And then he's free, all right? As you're going through and as we're heading toward November, if all of a sudden you begin to see things and read things and watch things on TV and you can sense your gaze fixing toward that, oh my goodness, and this could happen, then this could happen, that's where we've got to break that gaze spiritually to hope and remember these things. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus was saying that in a context of eternal life, of eternity. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says when these things begin to happen, when fear, distress among nations that can suck you into that, looking into that ball and getting fixated, no, look up, your redemption draws nigh. What's he saying? Break your gaze off that. So a big part of Fear Not November is looking at those things that are not going to happen, because those things that are not going to happen, they are your hope. They are the things that help get you out of that arena of reason and back into an arena of faith and break the spiritual power of that fear and get your spiritual focus back on God, where you've got peace again. This is going to be all right. God is still with me. Everything that worked in October is going to still be intact in November. Praise God. So that's the first aspect of Fear Not November. The other aspect too that I want to get into a little bit is simply what I'm calling test the spirits. All right? There's stuff that we're going to get as it relates to the last days that we've just got to simply test out. All right? There's going to be some things where you're going to get some warnings. There can be some good God-oriented warnings and different things like that. So it's not positive, negative, but it's testing the spirit of a thing. A lot of times as you're getting stuff in these last days, this is, you know, we can certainly, it's easier for us to pick up things from the world side as far as, you know, election phobia or something like that. We can kind of spot that, you know, and see that. But there can be other things that aren't quite as apparent. The Apostle John put it this way. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove, test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God." So we have a part to play. We don't just believe everything. Just because somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord, my little children," does not necessarily mean it's God. Everything that you hear, everything that I say on a Sunday morning, we talked about this in the open book test, should be judged. Not in a critical, negative, jaded way, but judged in a godly filter way by the Spirit of God to know, is this right? You know, that kind of a heart. And so John says, we need to test every spirit to see whether it's of God. So this is an important thing. And I want to look at this, especially in context, maybe for more of us as the church, as it relates to prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 says, "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. All right? Now, it's important to understand as he's talking about tongues and prophecy, he's showing the superiority of prophecy over tongues to edify the church. But it doesn't undermine the value and the importance of tongues to still edify yourself. Praise God. Especially in these last days, I find myself praying in the Spirit a lot more. I find myself needing to edify myself a lot more. That's not a selfish context of edifying self. He's just saying that it's restricted to self. But prophecy can have a broader reach to more people because you're able to communicate, you're able to take the mystery out of it and communicate it in a way that we all understand. But as he's doing that, he kind of gives us some, you know, some understanding about prophecy and to understand its parameters and what it does and what it helps us for. And it says edification, exhortation, comfort. I got the three original Greek words. I'm not going to try to pronounce them, but I'm going to tell you what they mean from the original Greek. Edification is basically the act of building up, the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. Edification, a building, built, being built. So what it is, it does have an edifying, a building, in increasing your knowledge, your understanding, to strengthen you, to encourage you in that sense. Also, there's exhortation, which means a calling near, a summons, an admonition, an encouragement, a persuasive discourse, stirring address, all right? Admonitory, conciliatory, instructive, okay? So there's an exhortation, an element of exhortation in there that is going to be explaining, understanding, and a persuasive thing, you know, that you're going to begin to see that God is going to give you some kind of a clarion call, a summonsing forward as far as this is going to happen if this. A lot of times this is where there can be conditions in prophecy. It's based on the exhortation part of prophecy. If this happens, then this will happen. If this doesn't happen, then this won't happen. And so you can kind of see prophecy will kind of have that exhortative aspect to it. And comfort, okay? But you see these three elements. It edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts. So prophecy will exhort in a way that comforts. It won't exhort in a way that condemns. It will exhort in a way that comforts, that lets you know, that produces hope, that builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. Okay? So all this, we're talking about testing the spirits to listen to the voice behind prophecy. What is this doing? I see and hear the exhortation in it. Is the spirit behind it a building up, edifying spirit behind it that's comforting me as it's telling me what to do? Or does it have some other reaching effect that is somehow causing fear or causing anxiety? You know, that kind of thing. Because God gives us these prophecies to help us many times during troubled times. I know another context that the Apostle Paul says regarding prophecy, Timothy, my dear son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they, those prophetic words, help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith have made shipwreck. So what is he saying? He's saying, take those words, take those prophetic words. They can help you fight in the Lord's battles. In other words, when you go back over here and you got some kind of prophetic word that had an exhortation with a condition and a comfort, and you're out there in the battle, you take that word and say, God said this. And I remember that. And so I can fight with that, all right? So it's something that's building me up. It's something that I can use, something that I can fight with, right? Paul writing to the Romans, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We're talking about listening to the spiritual things. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So what is this saying? Saying you're going to get things, you're going to pick things up. That Spirit of God is going to lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. That's quite an equation. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a child of God. In other words, it didn't say for as many as are pastors, is for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are pastors. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are prophets. No, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. Are you a child of God? You are led by the Spirit of God. That's the equation. So it's important. I don't care who says what or who prophesies what or what or what or what. You, as the child of God, have the freedom, the right, the liberty to test the spirit of any word you hear. All right? If whether I say it to you or somebody you love or know or maybe don't know, whoever, it doesn't matter. You always have the right to listen, to check out, and test the spirit of anything, right? I know there's sometimes people will kind of almost undermine that. And, you know, I'm the prophet of God, just listen to me, da-da-da-da. No. Anytime you lose the right to test the spirit, you have a new lord of your life, whoever that person is. You always have the right to check things out. You always have the right to listen on the inside. As a child of God, you haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear. Here again, we kind of started out the message with that. I know I haven't received a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Here he says, you haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear. He says this in connection with being led, all right? The same spirit that's going to lead and guide you into all truth, Jesus said, would not be a spirit of bondage that causes you to fear. So as you're testing the spirits, as you're listening to what's going on out there, as you're listening to maybe prophecies, whether it's a personal prophecy or prophecy for the church, you're listening for those elements of edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's going to have all that for the purpose of building you up. It's taking you somewhere. It's leading you somewhere through your good shepherd. You're going somewhere, all right? And so that's kind of the trajectory of that. I remember, if you guys go back 20 years ago, Y2K. And a lot of the hubbub that came out with Y2K. And of course, as the church, we kind of look for global things. And so it can be easy for the church to get fooled sometimes with stuff. And I remember just as a computer guy, a programmer guy, I've been working on Y2K for 5-6 years before Y2K ever hit. So in my mind, just because it's my area, it's like, this has been I've been working on Y2K. I mean, I know that so many of these things are resolved. But here, during that era, during that time, there was a lot of fear. It's all speculation. This could happen. This could launch the nuclear wars, and this could cause elevators to free fall and drop, and all this Y2K stuff going on. And I was just so agitated in my spirit. Because there are just people that think it's all crazy, and there's people that think, don't regard, you're in the ditch, that you just don't care, it's all going to be okay. And then there's people that are crazy, think everything's going to go wrong. And I thought, I'm in this ditch. I really don't care. I'm really not afraid. I am here. Yep, I'm in a ditch. And because I was frustrated I'd see all the church in the angst. And I said, I want somebody to stand up and say, it is written. I don't want you to hypothetical, this could happen. Step up to the plate and say, thus saith the Lord, and let me check it out. Nobody would do that. I wasn't hearing anything. I was just hearing a bunch of global church because the Antichrist and buying and selling, and you kind of get in that genre, and it could be in your connecting dots, but there's no authority. It's just speculation. And so I remember back in 2000 going, well, no. And I remember when it came and went, it was not a surprise, it was not a shock to me at all. Not just because of the work that I'd done as a programmer to prepare for it, but there was just no witness of the Spirit in there. It was a lot of fear. It was a lot of angst. There was no, comforting, edification, exhortation, or anything connected to it. So it was a lot of fluff, all right? But that's not to say that God won't have times where you are going to be warned. I remember talking about some of these stuff, and actually Abby had mentioned it to me early in the, kind of the beginning of the year. We were kind of hanging out in the pool in a hotel, and we were talking about different things and kind of some off-the-wall hypotheticals and trying to see when Satan just gives you a spirit of fear to, this could happen and make it seem real. And she said to me to the effect of, but Dad, how do you know when God isn't warning you about something? What about something that could go wrong, but God's just wanting to warn you? Good question. Because there are warnings that God will give us at times. But I can tell you something about the way God warns you. When God warns you, when there's a prophetic warning, there will still be edification, exhortation, and comfort. And in that warning, there will be instructive preparation that gives you peace and strength. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling us about a time where God woke him up in the middle of the night. He said, there's a recession coming to the United States of America. Do this, this, and this to begin to prepare for it. And it was like, cool. It's not like run around with, you know, like a chicken with your head cut off at all because of a recession's coming. No, this is coming. This is how you prepare. This is what you do. It's like, well, praise God. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. God will warn you in a way that will be, because the wisdom that's from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy and good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy, sown in peace. So even God's warnings are sown in peace in a way that's pure and instructive, and you see something. And it's like, oh, okay, all right, that's coming. But to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And I know what to do now. I'm warned by God, but I'm not afraid about the warning that I get from God. All right? Other people can kind of have a spirit of fear and call it a warning. But that's where you get to test the spirit, right? That's where you as a child of God, as you're led by the Spirit of God, can check it out for yourself and say, yeah, that bears witness. No, it doesn't bear witness. And sometimes you might say, you know what? I'm not sure, Lord. I acknowledge you with that way. Continue to direct my path. You know, I'm going to put it on the back burner for right now. If I need to know something about that, bring it on the foreburner and show me what you need me to see about that. But there's a time, there's a space where I can begin to kind of work through that in my own heart. Because it is important. God does warn at times. I mean, you think of even Joseph when he was interpreting Pharaoh's dream. You know, just about how there was the seven lean cows, ugly lean cows, and the seven fat cows. And the seven lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows, but they still stayed lean. It didn't even do anything for them at all. And so Joseph said, that's a warning. You know, we got 7 years of plenty coming up, but there's going to be 7 years of famine. So begin to prepare and take some grain from these 7 years of plenty. So when the 7 years of famine hit, you're going to be ready. All right? That wasn't God trying to scare Pharaoh for the sake of scaring him. It was a way of him preparing him and warning him for stuff to come. And it's edifying and it's good and it's peaceful. Praise God. So this is where, when we're talking about a lot of this, there's a lot of spirits, there's a lot of things in the air. Just begin to check those things out. Listen for those elements: edification, exhortation, comfort. Is it doom and gloom and there's no way out and it causes fear in me? Well, I haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear. I got delivered from that thing. And as a child of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God and I cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And the Spirit bears witness with my spirit whether that word is true or not, whether I need to listen to it or not, whether I need to let it in my soul or not. And so these are things that we need to do as we're testing the spirits. It's a big question. Is there a real productive forearming warning here, or is it just stirring up fear? All right? We've got that as a child of God to begin to look at that and make that determination. Praise God. And then finally, as it relates to entering into November here, and simply what I'm calling seeing the greater one. And this kind of goes back also to a word that I had gotten really at the beginning of the year. I feel like I'm coming full circle back to January. I remember I was getting ready to do my 2020 sermon and all that kind of stuff and the word for the year and all that. And I was just kind of getting, you know, kind of coming up with some things, but not really settling on something. And then the Lord just really interrupted me with a dream that started out this year. And it was a fear not dream, okay? But there was a reason for the fear not dream. And it's because of this, seeing the greater one. As we head into November, the greater one is heading into November with us. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Little children, you're of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Do we see agents of Antichrist in the world? Yeah. It's tomato, tomato, potato, potato when it comes to Jesus and the Word of God. You know, if God said it, okay, we're taking the opposite position, so we're not going to be in bondage to that. You know, it is anti-Christ. It is anti-spiritual. A lot of times people don't even realize that's what's driving them. All they know is they just don't want that. But really, it's an anti-Christ. It's an anti-Christ spirit that's just saying, you know, if you say this, good, then I'm going to take the opposite view. It's opposite. And so we've overcome the agents of Antichrist because, not because I'm so clever, not because I can outwit them, not because I can because he who is in me is greater than every agent of Antichrist influence in the world. And that's such a big part of not being afraid, is when you begin to see the greater one. This isn't based on how much Bible Ed House knows as of today, or my life experience, or what I've done, or my spiritual credentials. There's something bigger going on here that causes me to not be afraid. There's someone bigger going on here, the greater one, you know. And it's something that we know, we've heard. I've been knowing this for a long time. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. But in these times, in these last days, that goes from a theological concept to a living reality. When I'm going into November with the greater one, I'm going in to November with he who is in me. And just a few other scriptures along he who is in you. We know a few things about he who is in us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the greater one, the power who works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's why I appreciated Jody's exhortation this morning. Pray bold prayers. Why? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you can do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Okay, well then that means whatever I can think is on the table where my prayer life is concerned. Because the greater one's got that covered and beyond. So I don't have to be afraid. Ooh, that might be a little strong for the greater one. Nope. If you can ask it or think it, he's out beyond that. So we have authority and we have the ability to begin to pray and believe, you know, for the greater one to go to work on our behalf. He is powerful. Not only is he all powerful, you have an anointing from the Holy One, the greater one, and you know all things. But the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And this here again goes back to where as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. As many as have the anointing that abides within, you have the witness to know whether that's true or not. It doesn't mean that we don't need teachers anymore. Of course we do. The Bible gives us scriptural instruction for teachers. But he says, you have the anointing that abides on the inside of you. Your whole trust ultimately is in that anointing. And he's going to witness whether the teacher, what the teacher said is true or not, because he is the great teacher. And so the greater one that we're going into, who's greater than he that's in the world, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he lives on the inside of us. And there's another reoccurring theme about him too. Love has been perfected us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, this kind of goes back to testing the spirits. It kind of goes back into, you know, seeing the greater one. Satan would love us to be in torment as we go into November. We're not going to be in torment as we go into November. We're going to be in peace. We're going to be in power, love, and a sound mind. The power of the exceeding great power that can do abundantly above all that I could ask or think. The sound mind that is the mind of Christ that just knows all things intuitively because the presence of the Holy Spirit saying right, wrong, peace, no peace. You know, and the supernatural love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts that gives you the power to love, that really, Jesus said, they're going to know your Christians. This antichrist spirit of the world will know your Christians by your love one for another. It's a witness, the love of God that you have in your heart. In other words, the thing that is going to make you stand out, you're going to be walking in a power and a peace and a chill and a love, and it's not going to be an angry vibrato. It's not going to be anything about you that they fear. They're going to sense you leaning in to someone greater than you. And that's better than you. When you do this, you're not going to be putting yourself on display. You're going to be putting the greater one on display. It's a peace that passes your understanding. There is something about this that brings glory to God. They're going to look at you and glorify the Father who's in heaven. They're not going to glorify you for your great this and that. They're going to see something about you that's going to cause them to think, man, there is a God. And like I said before, when I was kind of getting ready for the beginning of this year, and kind of thinking, oh, what would be the 2020 message? I had a dream. And in that dream, and you can kind of go back to the first message of the year if you kind of want to hear the full-blown deal, but basically in that dream, I was in a park, and it was a beautiful sunny day. This is what was so weird about it. It wasn't like this dark, gloomy, hazy. It was beautiful to look outside in the natural. And this has kind of been a beautiful year, weather-wise, too, when you look at 2020. You know, it's not like it's been a really bad year from a weather standpoint. It's been really nice. And so in the dream, the weather was really nice. And it was a nice park, but it was like in this dream, I was going in a circuit around different parts of this park. And it was like in a circle. And there was like three or four venues, but it was like, I remember going the first one, in each of these little venues, and so if you can almost think of like a little walkway that is almost like a horseshoe, you know, and I just kind of go into that first one, and each of these, as I'm looking out from this walkway, it's like this big, beautiful, green, open field. There's nothing I could see in the field that I remember at all. I remember at the point that It was like people that wanted to show me this thing. It was like they were saying, come here, look at that. What are we going to do about that? And like I said, I didn't see, like I could say what specifically that was. All I know is that when I looked out at that field and I looked out at kind of that open area in the park, I could feel the fear in the air. Beautiful sunny day. I mean, there's nothing in the natural, but you could feel the fear in the air, and I could sense the people around me just in pandemonium, and they were panicking. And just in a moment, as I'm looking out and I'm seeing that scripture just rose up in my heart. He that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. He that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. And this is the cool thing. Like I said, I've known the scripture for years. I've known he that is in me is greater than he that's in this world. I've known that. But in my dream, I really believed it. In my dream, it was like I was anointed in my dream. And I remember in all this chaos and pandemonium, I just sensed the anointing of that scripture and just saying, he that is in me is greater than he that's in this world. I remember just saying, I can tell you one thing about that. God is greater than that. And he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. And I just remember relaxing. I just remember it was almost like I was letting the greater one out. And it was just diffusing that situation in my mind, into my spirit. They were worried about it. I wasn't worried about it because of the greater one. Again, like I said, I've known this for years theologically in my dream. I believed it in a way, and I sensed the anointing and the grace. And it was just like, praise God. You know, he's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's anointing my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. I'm lying down in green pastures. Nothing about me that could do that, but he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And there was just a yielding to the greater one, just letting the power of the greater one that's in me out. Saying, no, I can tell you one thing about that. God's got that. God has got that. Again, I didn't have a specific thing what it was, but I just knew that the power of God was greater than whatever the world could throw. And then after that, I remember I woke up. I literally woke up and thought, wow, because it was so real to me. And I fell back to sleep. And I kept dreaming that dream. I don't know if that's ever happened to me before. And I went on to another, it was the same park, same group of people, said, come over here. And we were walking around this horseshoe, kind of got to the top of the horseshoe. Look at this. And it was, all I knew was it was something completely different from that. And it was kind of even though it was different, it was the same spirit of fear. It was the same pandemonium. It was the same vibe in the air. And I just remember the same thing. It says, he that is in you is greater than that too. He's great. And I can say, all I can tell you is God's got this. This is not a problem. Not a problem at all. He that is in you is greater than he that's in this world. But I remember, just again, I'm believing it. I'm anointed in my dream. And it's like, if you've ever been in a dream and sensed the anointing in your dream, it's really a cool sense. It's like, praise God. That's why I wanted it to be real. I didn't want to wake up from this. I wanted to be that guy, you know? But in my dream, I was that guy. It was like real in my dream. And then they took me to that third station. And it was like, you know, it kind of, the way it came, it's like it was something completely different than one and two, but it was the same. Even though it was different, it was the same. It's like the old expression, the more things change, the more things stay the same. If he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world, then no matter what the world throws at you, he's still greater than it. And it was like, wow, I get this, Lord. I get this. And I remember just waking up. I remember, again, I woke up, oh, man, it's a dream, you know. But thinking, wow, I see that, Lord. And I remember waking up. I was stirred up, though, when I woke up. It was like, oh, I'm not going to get afraid at whatever the world throws at me. And for me, again, that dream, it was like three stations. Now, I could look back in hindsight and think, well, maybe one, you know, in hindsight, you could say maybe one was the pandemic, the COVID-19. Maybe one was the race riots and all that, you know, from the death of George Floyd and all the circumstances around that. Maybe another one's the elections. And will we have fear, you know, free and fair elections? Will there be pandemonium? Will there be rioting in the streets? You know, I don't know specifically because I didn't see those things in the dream. All I know was that there were three general things. They were different. But it was the agents of Antichrist throwing things at you, and he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. That's the thing that I knew, that no matter what the enemy throws at me, there's one thing that's always true. You know, as long as you're resting in the greater one, you got the greater than sign going in your direction, no matter what the enemy throws at you. And as we look at, you know, fear not February, we got to go into February leaning into the greater one. Not by might, not by power, but by the greater one, says the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the greater one builds the house, they labor in vain. And so, as we're going forth into this month, fear not November, we got to go in resting in the greater one. It really doesn't matter in one sense. Could this could happen? Could that happen? You know, God isn't giving you hypotheticals to stir up fear in you. If there's a prophetic word, it'll be edification, exhortation, and comfort. Again, there can be conditional exhortations within a prophetic word. Absolutely. But either way, you know, I like something, I got to go back to it real quick. Something Paul told Timothy, you know, he said, you know, take those prophetic words, let them help you fight a good fight in the Lord's battles. But verse 19, cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. And as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. A lot of times, whether you're in fear or not, doesn't just turn on the prophetic word, it turns on your conscience. When you keep your conscience clear and you're yielding to the greater one, there's greater peace. Regardless of how things may turn out based on the exhortation and different things like that, I got a clear conscience. I got the prophetic word. I'm going in. I'm trusting God. Seeing the greater one at work. Praise God. And if there's something that's bothering my conscience, there's a blood that can cleanse my conscience from every dead work so that I can get back up and serve the living God. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse the conscience. Thank God. Receive that ministry of the mercy of the conscience cleansing power of His blood. Get back up again. But you get back up again and you're listening. What's not going to happen in November? Gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. The anchor of the hope of eternal life is rooted. It's anchored in God's integrity, who can't lie. After all, Jesus said, if there weren't many mansions, I would have told you that there weren't many mansions. But I told you there were many mansions because there are many mansions. I'm not a liar. We have a hope that's rooted in the integrity of God. He wants us, as we're comparing spiritual to spiritual, to go back to His integrity and say, the one that bought you, the one that saved you, the one that you've experienced, whatever you've experienced in me, that same one has promised you eternal life. And that's how those guys got tough. I don't even count my life. Persecutions and afflictions await me. I don't count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. If I die, I'll depart and be with Christ, which is far better. There's such a revelation that's rooted and grounded, that you're not orientating around whether I live or die or not. You're walking through the power of God, and I'm not afraid. My heart is not troubled. He is with me. I'm going to test the spirits of stuff. As I'm going forward, that's what we know God's promise will not happen. So we can rest assured that in November, gates of hell aren't prevailing. Got that anchor of my soul, the security of eternal life. Testing the spirits, I'm going to hear stuff, I'm going to get stuff. As I'm doing that, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that anointing that abides within, I'm going to be listening, I'm going to be checking things out. I'm going to be listening for edification, exhortation, comfort. Is there a warning here? Great. Then it should be instructive, it should be full of peace, it should be something that helps forearm me in a way that brings peace and preparedness over what's in front of me. Does it do that, or does it stir up fear? That's a question you got to ask and answer in the privacy of your own heart. And then finally, see the greater one. There is a reason why we don't fear he who is in this world. It's not just because of what I know. It's not just because I can see through the enemy. It's because he lives in me. His presence is in me. And I can pull into that presence. I can pull into a peace that passes my understanding. But what if? I got a peace that passes my understanding. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to let it keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Furthermore, I'm going to think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. Praise God. I'm going to be thinking about that. I'm going to be seeing things. And as I'm doing that, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you things to pray and how to pray and whatnot. But you're keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus in November. Praise God. We're in October now. November's coming. And as the church of God, we can say, bring it on. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same in October as you will be in November. We look to you. You are the greater one. We thank you for your peace and your grace in our lives, Lord, that you don't change. That throne of grace is 24/7. We are just there in your presence right now. We thank you for the flow of mercy and grace, wisdom. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you are the God of October. You're the God of November. I don't fear November. I don't go into November all alone. You're my good shepherd. You go before me into the month of November. Show me how to pray. Show me how to prepare. Show me what's you. Show me what's not you. And help me to lean into you, to rest in the greater one, to let your power, your grace out. Let it come out through the confidence in my words, through the countenance of my face. Let me shine with the peace that passes my understanding. Let me shine in a dark world in a way that they see you, they look for you, they cry out to you, that I can lead them to you. Thank you, Father God. You're here. You're with me. You never leave me. You never forsake me. And I thank you for that truth as we go into November. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, just be encouraged. Like I said, it's kind of in my spirit. I've just sensed a lot of different things going on. And, as far as naturally how things play out, whatnot, I know what I'm praying. I know what I'm believing. We kind of prayed some prayers before after praise and worship, that transition time. And, I'll tell you what, it's not so much that I think this is going to happen or I think that's going to happen. It's declaring the heart of God. Will there be a fair election? Will there not be a fair election? I declare in the name of Jesus, fair elections. I declare in the name of Jesus, decisive victories that bring peace to our land in the name of Jesus. I'm declaring those things, all right? I'm not looking into that fear ball and getting sucked into this thing. No, I'm over here in hope, praying, and declaring. I'm in the arena of faith, and it's keeping me free from that arena of fear. Amen. Praise God.